Hello and welcome to Cryptid Addicted, the podcast, where we talk about cryptozoology, the study of animals that aren't exactly proven to science yet, but could very well be out there. I'm your host, Megan Devison, and this is the questions episode. What are the questions episodes? Well, they are bite-sized little episodes that cover important cryptozoological questions that require just a little bit more research. For example, what countries are Bigfoot reported in? Or is the Mothman even biologically possible? What cryptids will be discovered in 10 years? I'm sure we'll get to all of those questions in the future. This is our 10th question episode, and it is also our 2-year anniversary for the podcast. As such, I've got a little announcement. I want to tell you about the growth and evolution of Cryptid Addicted into something more regular, something more expanded, while keeping the content awesome and fueled by extensive but accurate research. Basically, that is what is at the core of Cryptid Addicted, and we want to keep that true. More about this to come on the special 2-year anniversary episode coming soon. But as a sneak little peek, I will say these words: interviews, international expeditions, and potato, just to throw you off. One of these three is not like the other. Anyway, so what does this mean for the questions episode? Well, the podcast is growing, and we want to deliver the best content we can for you. That's why the fans who support us through buying merch, joining Patreon, and even just reviewing the podcast for free just means so much to us. They help us keep going, they help provide the support that we need to keep bringing cool crypto content straight to your ears. That's why we want to give those Patreon supporters something special to say thank you. We are going to be bringing these questions episodes that you're listening to right now bi-weekly straight to Patreon supporters exclusively. That means that the main podcast episodes will be moving to a bi-weekly schedule, with the big episodes and the Who Dis episodes in between them being bi-weekly, brand new and exclusive questions episodes for our Patreons. For as little as $1 a month, you can become a Patreon and have access to these extra episodes and much, much more. To read about what these other perks are, you can check us out on www.patreon.com/cryptidaddicted, one word. We feel like this is the right move to say big thank you to the supporters that are out there. Now, because of that, this will be the last questions episode that will be free for everyone to listen to without becoming a Patreon. And I wanted to choose something juicy, a question that is meaty and is surprisingly commonly asked. So that question is, number 10, what cryptid is most likely real? It is one of the most frequently asked questions that we get, and it is a big boy. Now, there is absolutely no one answer to this, and it's kind of a matter of opinion, but here's my opinion. Firstly, I think there's a lot of strong contenders out there. There's Bigfoot, there's the Yowie, alien big cats, both in Australia and in Britain, the Fangalobolo, the cat fox, the Tassie tiger, and of course, the infamous drop bear. You know, that one's legit skis. But that's just to name a few, and if I had to pick the most likely, I would pick the Orang Pendek of Sumatra. In this mini episode, I'm going to be telling you why I believe in the Orang Pendek to be very, very real, covering the best evidence to support its existence and some of the best encounters with the creature to date. But firstly, what is an Orang Pendek? Because it's hard for you to get on board with this if you don't even know what it is. So, some of you know, and that is awesome, but this is basically a miniature Bigfoot in its simplest description. It's a primate that walks upright on two legs, it stands around 4 foot tall, its body is completely covered in fur, which ranges from a color of sort of red-brown to black-gray and even yellowish, like a dry grass sort of color. Its body, although it is short, is stout like a little teapot. It is also muscular and has like a pot belly. It's important to note that these are also not just orangutans. They're not. They're different. I swear, they're different. Despite the fact that a brand new species of orangutan was just discovered in a similar area in Sumatra in 2017, they're called the Tapa Nuli orangutan. And yes, they're in the same area, but they are very different. Those people who are seeing orang pendek are not seeing orangutans. One specific difference, for example, is orangutans live up on the trees, whereas orang pendek flee on foot, on their little legs, you know, like, kind of like a mini human. These orang pendeks are claimed to live in Sumatra, as I mentioned. This is a large Indonesian island, and it is actually the sixth largest island in the world. Yes, some surprise island facts for you. It is covered in mountainous, dense, little explored jungles. That's right. Perfect for hiding a mysterious animal. It's a land buzzing with malaria-carrying mosquitoes, crawling with man-eating tigers, and Lord only knows what else. So this is like one of the few remaining undiscovered locations around the world. Another reason for why this cryptid is so credible is that it's not a new phenomena. It's not like we just made this up like 50 years ago. There is a long history around this creature dating back to, at the very least, the late 18th century. But there's also reports from forest tribes, there's reports from Vietnam soldiers, local villagers, early Dutch explorers, travelers from around the world, and even Western scientists. So if a Western scientist, or well, at least one Western scientist has seen the creature, why is it still a cryptid? Well, if someone saw it, it's not proven to other Western scientists, then, you know, that's a huge amount of power for one person to have. There's no proof that this exists, but yep, a Western scientist has seen it. So the Suku Anak Dalam, which translates to children of the inner forest, beautiful, are groups of nomadic people who have traditionally lived throughout the lowland forest of Jambi and South Sumatra. They both know of and pay respects to this animal, frequently leaving offerings of tobacco and other bits and pieces to sort of appease it, keep it happy, show it respect. If they cannot provide tobacco, because, like, someone smoked it all, they provide dried moss. True story. Now, you may be thinking that just because they're paying offerings doesn't mean it's a real animal. Well, these guys have a concept of forest spirits. They have this understanding of real animals versus sort of a more spirituality being. And the orang pendek does not fall in the forest spirit category to them. To them, it is just like one of the animals, bro. It's just, it lives in the jungle with like the tigers and the mosquitoes. Like, it's just there. You just haven't seen it. So we went into all the super duper exciting sightings in the episode around orang pendek, which is episode 2 of Cryptid Addicted. And you can definitely go to that episode and listen in. It's an early one in the podcast, so please excuse the tinny sound and the us, I don't know. But definitely check it out because there's a lot more juicy details in there. But two sightings that I will recount here are that of Debbie Marta and Jeremy Holden. British-born Debbie began her love affair with a mysterious orang pendek in 1989. She basically came across these pristine prints that looked a bit like a 7-year-old child in the middle of the jungle. She even cast these footprints and sent them to the Indonesian National Parks Department. However, they were unfortunately lost, which sucks. Nearly like 30 years later, Debbie is still interested in the orang pendek. She also was studying Sumatran tigers, which are super duper 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 rare. And as far as I can tell, I believe she still resides in Indonesia. But if you know Debbie and you want to correct me if I'm wrong, definitely let me know. She was also involved in a 15-year investigation into the orang pendek in the 1990s, funded by the Fauna and Flora International. Alongside her was British wildlife photographer Jeremy Holden, who has photographed some of the most elusive animals on the planet. Their mission was to document absolutely any evidence that supported the orang pendek. In 1994, Debbie actually saw the creature for the first time. While deep in the forest, on her own, unfortunately, she saw the orang pendek stride out in front of her. There was no obstructions, no tree branches or brush obstructing her view. She saw it in all its glory, walk past. A few moments went by, it passed, it was gone, and that was it. She stated, "This gorgeous, graceful, very strongly built primate, a big ape concealed in the undergrowth. I would have said, well, I saw something, but I didn't see something. I saw an orang pendek." In another interview, she explains, "It was like seeing something from the wrong side of time. I can imagine it's probably like seeing one of our old ancestors. It's like a Neanderthal. It would have been absolutely mind-blowing, and I'm looking forward to my sighting." Despite having a camera around her neck, she didn't even think to take a photo, which is so unfortunate, but I can imagine being super caught up in the moment, and it was passing within a few seconds, so we're going to cut Debbie some slack. Since that time, though, Debbie has seen the animal two more times. And Debbie is super credible. Debbie is a serious witness. Very, very authentic sighting. So, you know, it's not to be written off. Now, Jeremy, the photographer, he had a similar sighting. He spotted these unusual tracks that were imprinted in a potato field. He called over his local guide to take a look, who immediately identified them as orang pendek. They followed the tracks briskly but quietly, and then when they were within the forest, all of a sudden they saw this banana plant swinging a bit weirdly in their peripheral vision, and they just like ducked down instinctively and watched as about 7 meters in front of them an orang pendek appeared. Later he stated it was larger than expected, but from his view he couldn't get a very good look at its face because it was at a profile angle to him, like on the side. Something he noted though was how at home it seemed to walk on two legs amongst the jungle. He said its arms swung just like a human and its back was fully erect, not stooped over or hunched at all. Again, although he had a camera, he did not take a photo. He describes this experience like this: "Seeing orang pendek is my greatest achievement. Not photographing it, though, is my greatest failure." Oof, I feel that. So this program that these two were involved in ended without successful confirmation of the animals, despite these two very credible eyewitnesses. But this was not the only project looking for orang pendek. In the early 2000s, two British men named Adam Davies, who you probably heard of, and Andrew Sanderson, who you also probably have heard of, were traveling in West Sumatra. They discovered a few pristine footprint tracks and even a handprint near a rotten log that appeared to have been torn up by something looking for grubs. From 2005 to 2009, National Geographic even embarked on an expedition, but unfortunately didn't find anything. Anyway, moving past that. And then there was the Orang Pendek project, which was most active in 2012 and 2013, but I believe they are still running sort of passively in the background. These guys were a little bit more lucky with their findings, and they have numerous castings of weird and mysterious but awesome footprints. So let's dive into these footprints. Prints of these cryptids are consistent, unidentifiable, and found one after each other, like walking in a line, not like abstractly throughout time and over the years, one footprint here and one footprint there. No, they were found in like a row. If you want to have a look at photos of these footprints, you can check these out on our website. We have an orang pendek specific page at www.cryptidaddicted.com/orang-pendek. Each footprint has a rounded heel, splayed toes with an opposable thumb. Definitely check those out, in my opinion. They are not faked and they seem very, very natural and totally unique to all the other animals around the place. Now, they are slightly similar to an orangutan's footprint, although the toes are much shorter. As you can imagine, orangutans need longer toes because they live in the trees primarily. They need them to grasp onto branches and hang on, swing around, whereas orang pendek reportedly is a ground dweller and needs shorter toes to keep balance up erect on 2 feet. Now, Dr. David Shivers, a primate biologist from the University of Cambridge, compared these footprint casts to those of other known primates and local animals. He concluded, the cast of the footprints taken was definitely an ape with a unique blend of features from gibbon, orangutan, chimpanzees, and human. From further examination, the print did not match any known species, and I can conclude that this points towards there being a large, unknown primate in the forest of Sumatra. Huh? Huh? But the credible eyewitnesses and awesome footprints evidence isn't the only reason why I believe that this cryptid is the most likely to be real. There is also DNA evidence. Dun, dun, dun. So, Adam Davies and Andrew Sanderson, who I mentioned before, who had the footprint thing in the West Sumatra, they also found hairs in 2 different locations on the northern slopes surrounding Lake Gangang Tujar in Kerinci National Park. The hairs were examined by Dr. Hans Brunner, a hair analysis expert from Australia. He compared them to all other known primates and local animals, and he came up short. He compared these unknown hairs to that of chimp, langur, gorilla, orangutan, macaques, red-leaf monkeys, rhinos, gibbons, sun bears, tapirs, and even man. The unknown hairs recorded a different color, color band, profile, cross-section, medulla type, scale pattern, and pigment distribution. Now, if you don't know what that means, that's fine because just it's big, especially the medulla part, but I'll get into that. Now, they also recorded a different length, being closest to that of a pigtailed macaque, and a different width of the hair, closest to a rhino. However, this isn't exactly too telling because hair measurements can vary wildly depending on the location on the body that the hair came from. If you think about it, like your arm hair is super duper thin and short compared to your head hair. But it is in fact the medulla that tells the biggest story. So say you pull out a head hair and it has that little like white tip blob on the end that came from your scalp, that's usually where the medulla resides. And the medulla on the unidentified hairs was distinctly different to all of these other animal species tested. And even better yet, these 2 unknown hairs that were found in 2 different locations were both tested and their medullas matched each other. If anything, from like visual comparison of me, not a scientist, their medulla kind of looked like a mix between a human and a pigtailed macaque, but I mean, that means nothing. So scientists know what they're talking about. One of the hairs was also dark brown in coloring, with the other one was slightly more lighter and orange brown. One of the hairs measured 52 millimeters, while the other one measured 64 millimeters. The shorter one that was lighter in color was also found alongside a print that a Kerinci National Park ranger could not identify. Now, this print was cast and sent to the Department of Primatology at Cambridge University, who concluded that it belonged to an unknown primate. Huh? Told you. So, with all that testing done on these hairs, the testers and the scientists concluded that they originated from a previously undocumented species of primate. However, that is still not enough to prove a whole new species, so that is why the orang pendek remains a cryptid. So it's pretty legit, right? So what's going on now with the orang pendek? Why have we not got troops of scientists in Sumatra looking for it? I mean, it's still a hell of a rugged place, and it's, you know, I mean, somewhat tedious. I mean, these things could be fully extinct by now. I mean, who knows? One man I know is still looking into this regularly is Dali Chandraputra, who I recently interviewed. He is conducting regular expeditions deep into the rainforest to collect evidence. There has even been early discussions about the Cryptid Addicted crew joining him on one of these expeditions into the Sumatran rainforest. Can you imagine? I am such a beacon for mosquitoes. I will get malaria. But I will find the cryptid. I will find the Orang Pendek. So, you know, worth it. Anyway, so all I can say is stay tuned for that, because it's only a matter of time before these animals are documented. I am sure of it. There is so much evidence that goes into these things being legit skeets. We need to find them before they go extinct, but we're working on it. Okay, that's it for today's question episode. Some of you may know we're celebrating our 2-year anniversary of the podcast, as I mentioned, and we're doing an Ask Me Anything. Now, you only have like just under a week to get your questions in, so go, go, go! You can email them to cryptidaddicted@gmail.com. You can reach out on our social media, cryptidaddicted on Facebook, cryptid_addicted on Instagram, and there are some great questions coming in, and I cannot wait to share them with you and Patty. He's not going to know until the last minute, just like always. But get on it, because it's going to be a fun one, and I can't wait to share it with you. So that's it for today's episode, my friends. Did you like what you hear? Do you want to hear more? You can support us by liking, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Say hi. I read all of the reviews, and I really appreciate it. Let us know you want more, and we'll keep giving it to you regularly. That sounded a little dodgy, but I'm sticking with it. Okay, thank you so much. Have a great week, and goodbye.